Welcome to Foundation. In this episode, we traveled to New York City where we talked to Dennis Crowley, who is co-founder and CEO of Foursquare. He talks about the new Foursquare, as well as splitting off check-ins into his new app called Swarm. Let's chat with him.
We haven't chatted in a while.
I think it's probably been a couple years since we did the last Foundation interview.
Yeah.
That was a good one, though.
It was good.
Yeah.
We talked about all kinds of stuff, BBSs and old school tech. So if you haven't seen that episode, go back and check that one out. But I want to get an update because just so much has happened with your company between then and now.
Like
Split out Swarm now.
Mm-hmm.
How's all this going?
Yeah, so it's kind of the big news this year is that the team has been hunkered down working on building really two separate versions of the Foursquare experience. I think one of the things that we started to realize really last year as we started to grow and as we started, you know, reaching out and talking to users is that a lot of new folks were confused by, you know, all the stuff that we had crammed into Foursquare over the mm-hmm. last couple years. Is it search? Am I supposed to be using it for checking in? If I use it to search but I don't check in, am I doing it wrong? Like, we were hearing that type of feedback from people. So one of the things that we wanted to do was really make two easier, simpler, lighter experiences. One that's dedicated to you know, really keeping up and meeting up with friends, you know, being able to have this awareness of where people are, and that's everything that we've put into Swarm. And then, you know, trying to build the best version of a personalized local search product possible, and that's what we've turned Foursquare into.
Yeah, let's talk about the new version of Foursquare. I've been using it since you launched it, but what is new for people that haven't checked it out yet?
Yeah, so the thing that's great about the new Foursquare app is that we've really simplified it down to just like the core elements of personalized local search. So as soon as you open it up, there's no longer that check-in button that's begging you to hit it. Instead, you know, search box is front and center. We have all these intents lined up, so you can very easily swipe between show me everything interesting for breakfast, lunch, dinner. And the thing that we're really trying to focus on is these like personalized local search experiences. So as soon as you download Foursquare, we ask you to go through this process of tap all the things that are interesting to you. Like, tell us the things that you like the most. And it could be, you know, I like bourbon old fashions, I like vegetarian places, I like steak frites, I like hot chocolate. And so the more you tell Foursquare about the things that you like, the better job we can do at surfacing those things in the app. So no matter where you open the app up, whether you're looking for brunch or lunch or dinner, we can have personalized suggestions like, oh, you really like marshmallows? Well, the best marshmallow dessert ever is right around the corner. Oh, you really like fish tacos? Well, you gotta go two blocks away to find this awesome lunch spot. And so, go ahead.
How do you get people, when you say fish tacos, like how do you get people to put that data in? Like, the consumption side totally makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And I know back in the day you were having people add notes. Is it still through mm-hmm. like the ability to like leave comments on a particular place?
Yeah, since the super early versions of Foursquare, we've had this notion of tips. And you know, it was different than reviews. Like, they're not really long reviews mm-hmm. that people write. It's just like these short snippets, like two tweets worth of like really good advice about a place. And a lot of the tips that we have in the system are very much like, hey, you should go here and do this. Mm-hmm. We've got about 60 million of these that are spread all over the world. And when people tell us about the great things, whether it's, you know, steak frites or whether it's fish tacos or, you know, awesome vegetarian dishes, like, we can go through, our data science team can go through and kind of tease out the different trends at different places based upon the content that's in these tips. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what's powering all of this. And so, like, it's been an incredible source of data for us.
And then you track these people, like, how does that work ongoing? Like, do you still rely on people inputting tips after they go to every place, or is it something where you're watching where they're spending time? Like,
yeah, you know, not all Foursquare users are creating tips all the mm-hmm. time. Like, we would love for that, but we know it's like, you know, it's not everyone has that little nugget of advice that they want to share. But we are finding there's like a big part of the community that really enjoys, like, hey, I found something awesome, I've experienced this great thing, and I want other people to experience it too. And so those folks will go and leave tips at all the most interesting spots that they found. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a little part of Foursquare where we have this thing called expertise. And so you can start to gain, you know, expertise in certain things, whether it's cocktail bars or taco places or French restaurants, depending on, you know, the tips that you've left, how many people like your tips, how many followers you end up getting, you know, just the interaction that comes out of leaving a lot of that content. And we find that people really enjoy participating in that.
One of the things that was tough for me is, you know, you probably don't remember this, but back in the day I created this little app called Oink, and it would allow you to go in and say, this is the best cheeseburger inside of this place. And it was about taking a photo and reviewing that one particular thing inside of a place.
Yep.
And the thing that's tough is, like, you know, if you ask the masses what the best hamburger is in the world, like McDonald's, like typically, sure. I mean, that's the most eaten hamburger in the world, yeah. right? So like, how do you figure out that I love like artisan little awesome old fashions and somebody else may just want a PBR at a dive bar or, yeah. you know, or I like both. Like, how do you figure out my taste to that level of granularity?
Yeah, I think a lot of this is tied to the social graph, right? And so, you know, one of the things that we do on Foursquare is, of course, ask you to follow people that you have a connection with. And it could be, you know, hey, these are my friends in real life, so I'm going to follow them, and I want to, you know, learn about the tips that they're leaving and the places that they go to. Or it could be, you know, celebrities. It could be, hey, this celebrity chef is talking about this certain thing, I want to follow them and find out what they're really excited about. But, you know, that concept of having, you know, experts and expertise in something is something that, like, we're really exploring pretty heavily. That you can take, like, these, you know, just regular folks that, like, hey, I went out and I scoured every single pinball bar in New York and I've left great tips about them. Or I know the best places to play Buck Hunter. I know the best cocktail places in all of Manhattan. So we're finding these like little micro celebrities emerging on Foursquare, and people will follow those folks, and like they'll kind of draft off their recommendations and draft off the places that they go to.
I see. Yeah. That's awesome. I love how this is like, for me, you know, I've used Yelp in the past and to find particular restaurants and things mm-hmm. to do, but I find that their reviews are just so cumbersome and just like filled with a lot of like extra information, and you guys have always been really good, especially when I'm traveling, at like pushing me awesome places I should go to check out. Like, do you see, like, is that the future of this business? Is like, is this all about like making sure and helping guide people through their life into the best potential avenues for to try different and new things?
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing that we've been really excited about these last couple of years is, you know, being really able to nail this, you know, this version of personalized local search. And I think one of the things that's kind of drove, you know, me personally crazy is just how broken local search seems to be. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that, like, if everyone, you know, everyone here in this building does a search on Yelp or Google for best lunch spots, like, we all get exactly the same results. Like, that just seems really broken. Like, these, you know, that should be something that's personalized and tailored just to you. Where have you been? Where have you not been? What do you like? What do you not like? What are your friends like? And so that's been the thing that we've been really psyched about. You know, I think one of the things that we've been pushing pretty hard is this idea of a version of Foursquare that you don't have to remember to use all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to say, like, hey, I'm looking for a lunch spot, let me take my phone out of my pocket and then ask Foursquare a question and Foursquare will give you an answer. But one of the things we've been really focusing on, and one of the things we've gotten really good at, is just starting to understand, like, hey, is this user traveling? Is this user like in a are they in a part of the city that they haven't been in before? Are they a little bit out of context right now? And what can we do about that? Can we just pop up a recommendation that says, hey, you told us that you like fish tacos. We know that you're in this part of town you haven't been to before, and there's an amazing fish taco place right on the corner. Like, let's tell you about that. And so we'll buzz your phone and say, hey, did you know this awesome place right on the corner? It matches everything that we know that you like and we think that you're interested in, so go check it out.
Yeah, that's a huge like moment of delight for a user. Yeah. Like, if you can nail that, like, yeah. they tell 10 other friends about how awesome that experience was.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a really, really tricky thing to do, because you have to kind of understand the way that people move through space. You have to know like everything about all of these places. You have to understand what people like and what they don't like. And like, one of the really unique things about the Foursquare data set is, like, you know, over the last 5 years, we've tackled each of those, you know, each of those different parts of that data equation. And now we have all of this stuff built, so we can start doing that. So, mm-hmm. you know, we launched this product a couple years ago. You know, we've been building this into Foursquare, but like, now you can start getting notifications on your phone. A lot of us here have been playing with the, you know, the Samsung watches and the Motorola watches, and being able to see, like, can you push those notifications to your watch and to your wrist? And that stuff has been really, really interesting. I think that's going to continue to be interesting in the next year or so.
And where do you, as far as like on the business side, like, how are you engaging with these businesses? Like, I mean, I'm obviously they'd love it when you push someone, a new customer in, that's going to get the awesome fish tacos. Like, yeah. that's huge for them. Mm-hmm. They didn't necessarily buy an ad for that. And then, you know, sometimes when I look at Foursquare and I see an ad, I'm almost a little bit worried that yeah. like they're advertising, so it's not the best particular yeah. place to go. Like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, it's like, that's a tricky thing, because no one's really nailed like this local advertising part mm-hmm. yet, especially around a lot of local merchants, and we're working pretty hard to get that right. You know, we've always thought that because we know so much about the world and because we know so much about people's taste, like, we should be really good at being able to say, like, hey, Kevin, these are the places that you really like in San Francisco, and now you're kind of out of your element in New York. These are the five businesses, you know, a sandwich shop, a, you know, a fashion boutique, a, you know, cocktail place that we think that you'd be really interested in. And the merchants should be able to, like, you know, they should reward us for driving business into their, you know, into those places. And so, you know, we're exploring a bunch of avenues for doing that now, a lot of which is, you know, it's basically promoted places. Like, hey, what are the places that are great? What are the ones that match up to the taste that you like and that are pretty, you know, high quality based upon what Foursquare users say about them and the ratings that we have? And how do we drive you into those specific businesses?
So you won't promote something to me that doesn't have a certain, doesn't meet a certain bar of quality and taste preference?
Yeah, that's what, like, we're trying to err on the side of making sure that we're matching up, like, these, like, really authentic businesses that we think are great and have, like, high quality ratings with, you know, with the type of user personalities that we think would match those particular places.
I see.
And, you know, we get it right a lot of times. Like, I think there's still a lot of tweaking that we can do there. But, you know, it's one of the reasons that, like, it's a really hard problem to solve, and we've got a lot of people here that are working on solving it.
How does a business, like, purchase an ad from you? Like, how do you work with them? Is it a self-service model? Is it?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Like, we have different sales organizations here at Foursquare. So we have a national sales team that's working with a lot of, like, you know, big national chains and some big box retailers. And then we've got a local sales team, like all these guys sit back there about 50 yards back. And the local team is calling a bunch of merchants across a couple different cities right now that we're doing, you know, some pretty aggressive trials and testing in. And so it's a little bit of directly reaching out, and it's a little bit of self-service tool. Over the last couple years, we've built some self-service tools for merchants that primarily people use outside of the US. And so we've got self-service ads that are running in a number of countries that are not the U.S., and that's been performing pretty well for us.
How come you haven't rolled that out to the States yet?
We do have it in the States. It's just it's one of these things, like, it's been more effective for us so far to end up calling those businesses and explaining what Foursquare is. So, like, one of the things that we're learning about a lot of these local merchants is that a lot of them are just, like, they're mostly concerned about getting the pizza out of the oven,
right,
or, like, handling all the customers in the cupcake shop. Like, they're not going through trying every single, you know, like, internet company and, you know, local app that's out
there. They're getting pitched a ton of them.
Yeah, they're getting pitched all the time.
Right.
So we call them up, and we, like, of course, they've all heard of Foursquare. Like, they, you know, they understand a lot of the stuff that we're doing, and we have to sit and explain to them, hey, these are the tools that we're building. This is how they work. This is how we can effectively drive customers into your store. And it's, like, it's a big education process there. I think that's one of the big challenges about the local advertising space, but, you know, it's one of the things we got to overcome and get right.
Yeah. One of the things that, as a product person, it's always frustrating for me is when you're building a product, you look at it and you're like, well, I wish we could do these three or five things. Like, we're not quite there yet. You always want it to be better. And, you know, so my question is, like, where do you see this, like, 3 years from now? What's the product going to be like? What's the experience that you're, like, really pushing the team towards that you want to see Foursquare
become?
Yeah,
that's a really good question. I think the version of Foursquare that we have now is, you know, probably the best one that we've ever built. You know, it's, like, it's really streamlined. There's a lot of, you know, we've got a ton of data powering this thing, and I think we've done a great job at, like, really highlighting that personalized local search experience. You know, the stuff that I'm really excited about, and I think, like, a really unique opportunity for Foursquare, is all these things around notifications that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does a personalized local search app look like when you don't have to think about using it all of the time, and one that, like, teaches you a little bit about the world every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you drive through a new town, it will tell you, like, teach you a brand new store open there that you might be interested.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, walking down a new street, it's, like, letting you know, oh, these are some places here that you might not want to go to immediately, but you should know about these places in case you want to go to them in the future. But just, like, how can software teach you about the world, you know, a little bit at a time? And I think that stuff is fascinating. I think a lot of that's going to happen through notifications.
Do you see, I'm sure you're going to be embracing a lot of these richer notification types where you can include images and things like that,
mm-hmm.
especially on the Android side. And, you know, Apple's starting to slowly kind of introduce some
more stuff
there. Like, do you see, like, pushing through rich media into that? Like, meaning, like, images of things as you're passing by them? Like,
yeah, you know, like, we do this on Android already, like, because with Android notifications, you can include a photo. So it's like, if we're going to tell you about, hey, you just walked into a restaurant, you have to try this dessert, like, of course, we'll send you a photo of the dessert as well. Like, that makes perfect
sense.
That's
pretty awesome.
But then, you know, like, we've done experiments with, you know, we build stuff for Google Glass where it's like, hey, you can see the awesome cocktails before you walk into the place. We've started thinking a lot about like in-car navigation systems. Like, hey, the moment you put your car in park, does the screen light up and it shows you photos of all the awesome things that you should experience in this neighborhood? Mm-hmm. Like, so those are like really cool ways that we can use a lot of the data that we have.
Awesome. So before we wrap up, I wanted to talk about Swarm, because obviously you split this off. Check-ins, gosh, man, this reminds me back in the dig days. Like, you've been at this for a long time.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Like, check-ins, like, I'm looking at your wall here, like, March of 2009.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? Is that the first launch?
That was the launch of, South by Southwest was the launch of Foursquare back then.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've been doing, well, it was,
it was Dodgeball
before that. So, I mean, I felt like with Dig, it was like all of a sudden there was this fatigue that happened where people were like, I don't want to click the button anymore.
Yeah.
Like, did you feel the same thing with check-ins where people are just like, oh, it's just too much work for me to constantly tell where my friends are at? Or, I mean, obviously you still have hardcore people that still love it.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that a growing base of people? Is it kind of like you just made this tool to give them a playground? Or how do you look at that?
Well, it's interesting. It's like we still get millions of check-ins every day. And, you know, one of the reasons to break Swarm off was that, you know, so we can make, you know, we have a dedicated experience, dedicated app that we can make as awesome as we want to do all these cool things with, like, how do you know when friends happen to be nearby and you just miss them? You know, how do you share a check-in and get something in return for that? Like, are there fun little game dynamics that we can build in? So, like, now that we've got this isolated playground for Swarm,
You just go crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, really, really fun stuff we can do there. You know, I think what we saw over the last couple of years is that, you know, there's just so many different ways for people to share like a particular interesting moment. Like something crazy could happen right now, and it's like, okay, do I share that on Foursquare, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on, you know, 200 of these other messaging clients? And I think that space got really, like, it got really fragmented. And so, you know, like, I think between some of that and you know, starting to think about like, well, what is, like, how do we reinvent the check-in? How do we reinvent what those apps look like? That's been like an interesting challenge for us. And so we always feel feel very passionately about, hey, there should be software that lets you know when really cool things are happening nearby with your friends. And I think that's what, you know, that's what Swarm should excel at and be really great at. But at the same time, you know, I think what you're saying is right. Like, you know, it's difficult to get people to hit that check-in button every single time and remember to hit that all the time. One of the things that, like, we've gotten really good at as a company is starting to, like, you know, like, how do you build a version of Foursquare that doesn't have a check-in in it, or that doesn't require you to check in? And so baked into Swarm is this concept of, like, neighborhood awareness. So we just understand as you go from one neighborhood to the next, you don't have to say, I'm in Soho, I'm in NoHo, I'm now in the East Village.
And people are comfortable with sharing that passively. They don't care, like, you know, I don't care if people know I'm in a neighborhood. I might care if someone knows exactly where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we you know, we could do something that puts you as a pin on a map, but when we tested that with people, it's like, like, I want to see where other people are, but I don't want them,
like,
to see where I am.
Your spouse or something.
Like a really small close network. But if you have a general, like, awareness of, hey, you're just in this city or in this neighborhood, you know, people don't feel creeped out by that. And at the same time, like, you can do really interesting stuff with that. Hey, your buddy just landed in New York from San Francisco. You should catch up with them. You haven't seen them in a long time. So that type of stuff is really interesting.
Cool. And you said, like, is it going to become a more passive thing to where you'll know, well, you know when I step inside of a place and when I'm there.
Yeah.
But you, how do you find those collisions? Is it just a broad neighborhood collision right now, or is it like if someone's walking by? Like, I think an extreme example of this was Highlight. Where it was just like, oh, somebody just walked by you, and you're like, what the hell? That was kind of weird.
Like, that stuff is tricky because it was like
it was delayed in a way.
It was a little delayed, and it was also like strangers meeting strangers.
Right, right.
It's like, hey, this person you don't know but went to the same college as you 4 years ago.
Right.
You know, you walk by that person, it's like, okay, well, like, is that super valuable or not, and worthy of a notification like, of my attention right now? You know, we've always had this approach where, you know, you have a really tight social network on Swarm. It's like all, you know, the friends that you want to share with, and then you have this overall kind of like you know, kind of broad understanding of where those people happen to be, what city or what neighborhood they're in, and, like, does that facilitate interesting interactions?
What about the event planning side as well? Because that was one feature in the app where I was like, well, this could be really huge.
Yeah,
like, you're like, I'm available to do something. Who else wants to meet up?
Yeah.
Is that getting the traction that you want? Like, where do you plan on taking that feature?
Yeah, it's one of the things that, like, the Swarm team is actively exploring. Like, so we've built this plans feature in Swarm, where you can really go and you know, just broadcast your intent. Hey, anyone want to watch the game tonight? Anyone want to go to this parade this weekend? And it's almost like, you know, it's like a mini bulletin board where you're posting your intent and then other people will follow on. So we've thought about like, hey, should we take events from, you know, from a local event provider and throw them in there as suggestions maybe? You know, do we help people kind of brainstorm what events that they want to go to? And do we help people decide between what things they want to do? So there's a lot of, yeah, I think there's a lot of like really interesting opportunities there to make like this lightweight coordination and planning tool. And so, and again, it's like, you know, we launched Swarm a couple months ago. It's a nice platform and sandbox to experiment with a lot of this stuff without further complicating the Foursquare experience.
Yeah, it's interesting in that in the events thing, I tried it a couple times, and then I think that there's this feeling with users that you have to be really, I like what you're doing and talking about putting in events, because like, sometimes you're like, am I that lonely person that just needs somebody to hang out with? And you don't want that emotional feeling to come across like, I can't find anyone to hang out with.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy that puts the plan in there and then no one responds to it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I think that like that solves that kind of cold start problem when you pipe in events and you're like, hey, I'm just happy to be going to this. Does anyone else want to go?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. But all that, like all this stuff is really, really tricky. I mean, there's a lot of different event services out there. There's a lot of planning tools that are out there. And, you know, they all kind of work, but none of them are really great. And so, you know, we kind of put our toe in the water, thinking like, hey, let's see if we can make a lighter, easier, faster version of this, and then see where it goes, and then adapt it accordingly.
What's the split of the team, like resources-wise? Like how many people are on Foursquare versus Swarm?
Yeah, the Swarm team is much smaller than the Foursquare team. I think like the Foursquare, you know, there's a lot of moving parts in the Foursquare app. There's a lot of data going on there. Like the app is a little bit more complex, there's more screens. But you know, the Swarm team is like it's a pretty tight team of like 10 or 12 people, and pretty excited and dedicated about getting a lot of that stuff right. And there's a lot of like uncharted territory there, so pretty excited about that.
Cool, awesome. Well, I think that's about it. Thanks for the update.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, psyched to give you an update. Stop by anytime.
Sweet.
All right.